A Stain of Red in the Sand by David A. McEwan. It started on her way up to Roger's flat, the sense that something horrible was waiting for her around the next corner. Roger lived on the 13th floor of a council estate the residents lovingly referred to as the Slab. Although she suspected it wasn't so much a case of love, more a feeling of mutual loathing for the concrete lump that they all somewhat hesitantly called home. Already in the lift, she could smell the stench of urine and urban decay. Foul odours seemed to be attacking her from every direction, filling her nostrils and clogging up her throat. The lift came to a slow stop on the 13th floor, and she entered the dark hallway. The lights kept flickering on and off. It felt as if she was moving across an abandoned dance floor after closing time. To her left, lurking in the shadows, she could see a gaunt figure with dark craters for eyes. Roger referred to him and the others of his kind as caretakers. But how many like him could a place like this hold? She hurried along. The caretaker hadn't noticed her, and she wanted to keep it that way. Within a few seconds, she was pounding on Roger's door, asking, no, begging him to let her in.
"It's me, Indigo,"
she shouted through the letterbox. The caretaker started to shuffle his feet through the piles of old newspapers that lay strewn on the sticky floor. A weird chirping noise was coming from the back of his throat, making him sound like a cricket, Indigo thought, or something like that. Then Roger's door slid open and she hurried inside. She wanted, half expected, Roger to be there behind the front door, waiting for her with open arms. But he had already escaped into the front room, eager to avoid her company, she thought. He had removed his shirt, she could see his ribs behind his pale skin. He had lost more than his fair share of weight since her last visit.
"You really should eat something, you know,"
Indigo said as she entered the front room. But Roger was way too busy with his latest masterpiece to notice the words that were coming out of her mouth. With a sigh, she realized that he wasn't going to mention the purple highlights that she'd had done at Katerina's place. Why did she even bother coming here? With nothing better to do, she decided to watch the artist in action. In the middle of the room was a giant lump of red clay. Roger was moving his hands over the glistening surface, and slowly a human torso began to appear. And then his hands created half a face. It was the face of a young woman. The one eye that for the moment existed belonged to a far gentler creature than was usual in this part of town. This girl, Roger's latest creation, wouldn't last 5 minutes out in the real world, Indigo thought. So why bother making her? Roger and his creativity puzzled her. It was almost as if he wanted to take the dirt and hopelessness away and replace it all with his wonderful creations. It wasn't a bad idea, but Indigo didn't think it was very realistic.
"So, who is she?"
she asked casually and cleared the sofa of rubbish so she could sit down.
"Her name is Zoe,"
he said, full of boyish anticipation.
"What kind of name is that?"
she asked too sharply.
"That's her name, all right. Fine, whatever you say, you're the artist."
Already she was growing tired of this game. She wanted him to see her. She needed him to see her just this once. Indigo got up and headed straight for the kitchen. She needed a cup of tea. While the kettle was boiling, her mind started to wander. The couple next door were shouting at each other again. Her eyes came to rest on the impossibly golden vista on the other side of the kitchen window. Endless sand dunes had engulfed the dreariness that should have been out there. Twin suns were burning holes of dark red in the air. This was the view from Roger's kitchen window. And this, she reminded herself, was why she came. Only from this particular window could the sand of that other world be glimpsed. It was a wonderful sight, and definitely worth the hour and 15 minutes it took her to get there. But everything had its price. In this case, it was the caretakers. They had started to break through the barrier about 3 months ago. And now they were starting to infect this place, this building. The walls were full of their strange nests, their alien communities. And still there was no sign of that man who had said he could sort things out, except for the faint traces of footprints in the sand down below. "Have you seen him lately?" Indigo asked.
"The doctor? Oh, he's out battling evil, I should imagine."
Roger had now completed the work on Zoe's face. She was becoming more innocent-looking by the minute. Standing by Roger's side, a cup of lukewarm tea in her right hand, Indigo had to ask him about the whole creative process. She glanced at the reddish-brown clay that lay in neat little piles on bin liners on the floor. "The clay, where do you get it from?" she asked, slowly sipping her tea. "Here and there," he replied. His hands were moving feverishly across the face of the sculpture. He had to get it just right, otherwise the whole thing would be pointless. Indigo grabbed a big chunk of clay, held it in her hand for a while and studied its wet surface. The texture was like raw meat to the touch, and she immediately felt sick. Or maybe it was the horrible tea, she didn't know. "It's not clay," she said with horror in her voice. "It's memory meat. Now please shut up, Indigo. Zoe's life depends on me." "That thing, are you serious?" she half pleaded with him. He didn't answer. His silence told her everything she needed to know. She threw the lump of clay, the meat, on the floor and stormed out of his home. In the hallway, a baby caretaker was scuttling about in the corner. It looked almost human, except maybe for the over-exaggerated limbs. And those eyes. The thing started hissing at her. She didn't care anymore. A few days later, Indigo returned to Roger and his magical kitchen window. She just couldn't help herself. He said the sculpture was finished, but she couldn't tell because it had a colourful bedspread thrown over it. "Can I see it?" she asked, starting to pull at the bedspread.
"Don't,"
Roger warned her. "She's resting. She's been through a lot these last couple of days." "You really like this one, don't you?" He nodded, and then his eyes started to fill with tears. Indigo left Roger and his emotions alone in the front room and went straight for the kitchen window. On the horizon, on top of a huge sand dune, she could see the doctor. His face was dry and cracked from the dry air and the harsh sunlight. His odd outfit was caked with grains of sand and crystal dust that sparkled in the evening light. He was making his way down the steep slope of sand. His vulnerable eyes opened and closed with great effort. She recognized the emotions behind those eyes. He was a man that had lost a lot during his lifetime, and now he was nearing the end of his journey across the golden desert. He looked up at her direction, and he saw her. He actually saw her. She waved enthusiastically at him and regretted it almost immediately. "You can be a real idiot sometimes, Indigo," she thought. The situation didn't exactly call for celebration. A huge insect-like creature crawled out of the fiery hot sand right in front of the doctor. It had two arms and two legs and looked almost human. A caretaker in its purest and most naked form. The doctor and the caretaker stood there staring at each other. Every now and again the doctor coughed and sand-coloured spittle came pouring out of his mouth, settling as a single drop under his chin. He was going to die. She knew he was going to die. And she'd waved. Then the unthinkable happened. They started talking to each other. She could tell from the look on the doctor's face that this was not a meeting of old friends. Indigo could hear the woman next door through the wall, sobbing uncontrollably. Maybe she had finally mustered up enough courage to throw that lowlife of a boyfriend out. Everyone needs courage at some point in their life, she thought, although maybe some need it more often than others. Down there in the sand, she could tell that it was vital that the doctor came out of this weird mess the winner. Indigo ran into the front room looking for help, looking for comfort.
Roger, I think he needs help down there,
she yelled straight into the air. But Roger couldn't hear her. He had fallen asleep on the sofa. Having worked endlessly on that sculpture for the last week or so, he was finally allowed to rest. The poor thing, he must have been exhausted. Indigo sat down next to him, stroked his chest, and then turned her attention towards the sculpture under the bedspread. The fabric was moving ever so slightly, as if someone underneath it was inhaling and exhaling. Oddly enough, she felt perfectly calm. It didn't scare her at all. She curled up next to Roger on the sofa. He snored gently and she couldn't help smiling. The rhythmic breathing from under the bedspread rocked her to sleep. Before Indigo drifted away, she had one last thing to say to the piece of art that had kept Roger away from her for so long. She reached out and touched the colourful fabric. It was warm. Zoe, go and help your friend. He needs you. And then everything went dark. Far away, she could hear the sound of a bedspread slumping to the floor, followed by slow steps as someone walked into the kitchen. When Roger woke Indigo a few hours later, she saw that the sculpture was gone.
Where is it?
She asked in alarm, rubbing the sleep from her eyes. But Roger was smiling. I saved her, he said. I actually saved her. Hesitantly, they went into the kitchen and saw that the window was slightly ajar. A hot breeze came pouring in through the gap. It was the wind from another reality. Somewhat reluctantly, she gazed down at the landscape below, fearing what she might find there. In the sand was a stain of red. Blood. But who did it belong to? There was no trace of either the doctor or the caretaker. Did he win? Indigo asked, sadness streaming from her heart. The world had taught her not to expect good things to happen. But now, perched on the threshold to a new world with a completely different set of rules, she slowly started to allow herself the luxury of hope. If she was completely honest with herself, it did scare her. She wasn't ready to step into the sunlight just yet. But the window had been left open for her. Did he win? She asked again, in case Roger hadn't heard her the first time. He embraced Indigo and whispered gently in her ear, "He won." They spent the rest of the day in that tiny kitchen, dreamily watching the suns set on that other world. Outside, in the dimly lit hallway, the walls had at last quietened down. There wasn't a caretaker in sight. And now, for the first time in ages, the residents of the slab finally dared to leave their homes. On the front room floor, the clay had started to rot. The memories held within had now deserted it. Slowly, the clay started to lose its color. It was no longer fresh.